So I'm Becky Buchinski, and my husband, Chris, he's shared his testimony during the Christmas event, so you might recognize him. He and I have been at Grace. We actually met here in college ministry 14 years ago, and then moved away, came back. So we've been here for 10 years, almost 10 years more recently, and been at Grace Life for about 6 years. And I have four boys at home, 11, 9, 7, and 2. And I homeschool those people. So that's what I'm doing.
Great. And Becky has just a wealth of wisdom for her age and just such a great love for all of you ladies. So we're really glad to have you up here.
My name is Laurel Martin. I live in Glendale. I have been a widow for 27 years. And before that, I had two children who have had a number of grandchildren. I love living in Glendale. I have been attending Grace Church for 45 years. And this sort of, some of us were Galileans, and then that disappeared, and I came to Grace Life at that time, which I think was probably 35 years ago. So anyway, that's my background. I keep very busy being a grandmother and a friend to many of you. Dear, dear souls, I love you all. So glad to be here. Thank you.
And I am Maya Ackerman. My husband, Paul, is in Grace Life doing the announcements. I think you recognize him. We have been married, going on 29 years, so we'll be celebrating 30 years next year. I've been at Grace ever since I graduated college, so quite a while. We met here in the college department in this building, actually. We have three adult children. Caitlin is going to be a new mom in a couple of weeks, so we'll be grandparents. And then Zach they both graduated, or Caitlin graduated from master's and now is teaching. Zach is going to graduate this spring, and Emily, our youngest, is at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, also a senior. And so we're just excited to be part of Grace and Grace Life, and we love this group very much. So thank you for asking us to be here.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah, and thank you. Well, let's go ahead and pray before we start, and then we'll dig in. Father, I just thank you so much for this time together with all of these lovely ladies who love you. I pray that our time here would be an encouragement to them, that it would be a help to them as we all seek to dig more into your word and become more like you. I pray that our words would be truthful as well as helpful, and that they would be honoring to you. May we all go away from this encouraged to just be digging into your word and growing in it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start with Becky. Can you, in 2 to 3 sentences, summarize the purpose of personal Bible study?
I think I missed the 2 to 3 sentences part.
Okay,
I'll be brief.
That's fine.
I think it boils down to time in the Word to grow our affections and love for Christ. So there's a lot of secondary reasons to study the Bible, fighting your sin, strength for discouragement, or digging into maybe just questions that come up during the sermon. But I think ultimately it's about a time of worship, and our affections are constantly being pulled away from the Lord. So coming back to his word to help stoke that flame in our hearts to really love him more and worship him.
That was very brief. Thank you. That was really helpful. I think you summarized that really well. Just time of worship with Christ is just essential. And when we read scripture, that's where we know more of him. So yeah, thank you. And then for everyone, the next question is, practically speaking, how do you organize your day to prioritize Bible reading during the busy times of life? Mai, would you start us out on that one?
Well, I want to start with a quote by Matthew Henry, one of our favorite commentary. He says, "He begins well who begins with God." So whatever season of life you're in, and I think you did a good job creating this panel, because whatever season of life you're in, you're going to have to battle that temptation of being slothful. And the discipline of being in a personal study time is one of those spiritual disciplines that you have to really prioritize. Otherwise, it's gonna, you know, you're not gonna do it. I think the habit of Bible intake is essential in whatever period of life you're in. So practically speaking, how do I organize? I will always have time for reading through the Bible, and I have a reading through the Bible plan that I follow, you know, and so that's always been priority for me, is be in the Word daily. When kids were younger, I had to get up earlier in order to get that time in before they started the day. And yeah, just I think doing those two things and then memorizing and meditating on God's Word throughout the day. Yeah.
Yeah, I think making a plan is really helpful to just, you know what you're doing already. So you're, right. you, I don't know, it just makes it easier to keep up with that way. Mm-hmm. Laurel, did you have any thoughts?
First of all, you will not like my plan. My plan, and I would go and grab you each by the scruff of the neck. And I would say, you have to be undistracted. Mm. You have to have a permanent place, a permanent time, and you have to do that year after year after year. And mine is 3 hours. If you get up at 3:30, by 7:30, nobody else is up, nothing is happening, and you've already got 3 hours in the Word. And if you think at my age that I haven't been through lots of ups and downs with deaths and births and sorrows of all kinds, you're wrong. And I have found that every season in life, it is just straight up, because through the Word of God, you travel up and up and up, and the trials are more helpful to you than the blessings, because that's when you have to look at yourself, and you're going to be doing everything in your power in Bible study to lose the selfishness that you have and become selfless, Christ being first.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful to what you said about having a permanent time and place. I think that's really good to establish that habit. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Becky. I also wake up early and go to bed early. I think that, I know that's not the answer for everybody, but for me, that works for my life in this season. So I just prioritize getting up before my kids and making sure I have time set aside to be in the Word. I remember when I first became a believer, one of my constant prayer requests when people would ask, how can I pray for you, was please pray that I would grow in having the discipline to be in the Word every day. And I that was like, a lot of people prayed for me about that over the years, because I really wanted to have that as part of a habit of my life. And by God's grace, it has become really just a part of my day. So if you're struggling to be in the Word every day, maybe you could start there, asking your friends to pray for you and praying that the Lord would help you to get up, if it is an issue of needing to get up. Another thing, I really have a lot of practical ideas, if that's helpful to you guys, I hope, for some of you. Asking people to check in with you about that. So over the years, at various times, I would text a friend at like 5 a.m, and I used to text her, are you up? And she said, don't text me, are you up anymore? Text me, are you reading your Bible? Because I sometimes will say I'm up when I'm really just, my eyes are open. So sometimes you really need that like friend to say, are you spending time in the Word right now? So that is something that has helped me over the years. Currently, my friends, Katie and Michelle Wade, Pam's daughter-in-laws, we text each other throughout the week, things we've learned in our personal Bible study. And that has been really helpful to me, to have to boil down some truth to share and encourage somebody else. And then if they're not texting or I'm not texting, you know, at least a couple times a week, we can check in with each other and say, hey, haven't heard from you. How's your week going? So finding that accountability, that's been a huge help for me. Another thing is, there are seasons where getting up early has been probably doable, Laurel. Really hard. Like when you're pregnant and nauseous, and that is, it's so hard. Or having a newborn and you didn't get sleep that night. Or maybe that doesn't work for your family. Maybe that doesn't work for your job. So I do think it's still, it's not, that's not an excuse to not be in God's word. So some things I've done over the years is take a walk and bring a list with me to pray. And I think prayer is another day, so that's not exactly Bible study, but just time with the Lord. And a big thing for me has been teaching my kids, training my kids to stay in their rooms until a certain time. Sometimes I just needed another mom to say, that's not mean. You can make your kids do that. And it's really freeing to think, okay, they can certainly stay in there until 7. And even explaining to my kids, you have to stay in there because I need to have time in the Word every day. I need the Lord to help me every day. So it's really important that you stay in your room. Or another thing, depending on your kids' ages, is just setting aside time where everybody has to do quiet time. So when I had a newborn and toddlers, a lot of times everybody had to have a quiet time. And again, helping my kids to see, mom needs, I need to have this time in God's word so I can honor him and grow in my love for him. And so you all need to sit with these books and be quiet. And maybe it's not very much time, but I wouldn't let a time constraint even keep you from God's word. So even if you can only do that for 20 minutes, that's still like the Lord can work mightily in your life with those 20 minutes on a regular basis for years.
And I wanted to add, you know, as Becky was talking, I remember sharing at a baby shower recently, just with young moms, it's okay to break up your day in chunks like that. Mm-hmm. I asked a young mom one time how much time, this was when we were in the throes of, you know, toddlerhood, and she, a friend of mine, and she said how much, I asked her how much time she spends in prayer, and she says, I spend an hour. I'm like, where do you find an hour, you know? and she said she broke it up in chunks of 15 minutes. And she would steal away in the pantry or the closet or the bathroom or whatever. But when she was talking about, you know, having your children discipline themselves, self-control, showing self-control to stay in their rooms, or, you know, I had a chair that I would sit and read my Bible time because I wanted to model my kids, model that this is important. Mom's doing it. You should do it. So I said, if I'm sitting in that chair, if there's fire, unless yes. there's fire, blood, or flood, don't interrupt, you know?
Yeah, we say the same thing.
Yeah, so.
To add, I sound like some kind of a dinosaur here, but I don't care who is there or what, and I have answered that question many times. People will say, well, I can't get up that early because then if my daughter hears me up, then she will get up. And I said, you very nicely, sweetheart, this is my time with Jesus. You may get up at 8 o'clock. Out. No two ways. You will have your time at this specified place, just a table. You could have an orange crate, but you must have all of your books. And dear, your books are going to be just absolutely the thing. What order do you have in your Bible study? First of all, you put your hymnal, your concordance, your Bible, your Puritans, you put them all on the table and you say, oh Lord, first of all, you commit yourself. Lord, I'm here to know you better and love you more. And once having made that commitment, you then just plunge right into it. What I do is I plunge right into it with, I have all these little Puritan books and I rotate them from time to time. But what you learn from the Puritans is a thing we all have to learn eventually and totally, and that is we are born self-centered. We are going to stop being self-centered. We are going to be other-centered, and that other person is Jesus Christ, and no one steals that time. And if you don't give deep, long, specified time to Jesus, you will let the world steal your life, and it will steal your time. And what he wants is your life. And therefore he says, the way you do that is you give me your time. I will give you my time. I will give you my love. I will not let duties take over from my love for you. Everything will be secondary. Nothing will compete with this. If you sit here as born again people, there is one way to live, and this is it. There is no other way. The more you fill yourself with the Word of God, the more you will have to give out.
Yeah, it reminds me when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You know, we really depend on him. And if we have time to eat our food, we have time to be with him. And I think we need to prioritize it that same way. And like you ladies are saying, I think that, you know, it comes with making a plan and having something that you do. It may look differently for each of you, but it's going to be a plan that you have that you are going to stick with because you need Christ. And I think that's what it boils down to. Let's go ahead and turn to Laurel for this next question. We are living in unique times, and many of us are experiencing the effects of changes happening within our country and the world around us. Talk to us about how our own personal Bible study fits into this.
Well, dear ones, if I came here for any reason at all, it was to really put you on alert. This church has been foremost of any church I know to put you on alert to what has been happening in the last 2 years. The last 2 years, what we're seeing is more and more government control. What we're seeing is more and more moral breakdown. And very often I hear people say, well, what's happening in Sacramento or Washington? Well, it's insanity. No, dear, it is not insanity. It is the loss of our foundation. We're in moral collapse. And the people that we have elected to Sacramento and Washington are fallen, immoral men making laws for fallen, immoral moral people. That is what happened. That more and more has separated us. We are not going to go that direction. Yes, the world is going that way, the nation, our city. We're not going that way, dear. I am going to assume that you're here because you were told that it was going to be about the Word of God. Therefore, you were drawn to come to this meeting. You are not going to follow the culture. You are going to follow the teaching of Grace Community Church. You are going to follow what you have learned for several hours in the morning about who God is, how to love Him, how to serve Him. So as the world goes that way, you're going that way. You're going to be the very same person you were before all of this happened. Because if you're born again, He's been working on you to make you different than the world all this while. I would just like to say about our founding, and don't want to get totally political on you because that isn't what this is. But when this nation was founded, we had a man, one man in particular, many, but James Madison was one that was the primary author of the Constitution. And the men who got together in that Constitutional Convention, they knew politics. They knew nations. They had come out of a monarchy. They knew these things, and they knew the safeguards to give, and that is what our Constitution is. And James Madison, that primary author, said, "We have staked the whole of the American civilization not on the power of government, but far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments." That has not changed. The people in Washington and Sacramento have changed. That has not changed. And we can follow in that straight line. So as others go this way and that way and to make the culture their lives, we don't. We make Scripture our lives. But you must be full of it, full to the overflowing, so that as you meet people who are lost and frightened, what you say is, "Oh dear, I don't think you know the truth." And in a smiling, wonderful, winning way, you say, "Oh please." And yes, it's wonderful to give them a tract, but oh dear, you want to get them to church. And I make just little things that gives the time and the place and the address of this church. And when they hopefully will respond to my smiles, I will say, "I'll see you at church." And so we have ways of being evangelists that were not open to us before, because I know you have seen it. I have seen it. The fields are white to harvest out there, and where they're coming is Grace Community Church. We have people that we've never seen. I look around. I used to know everyone, having been here so long. And dear, they're new. And that is so wonderful. Those of you who desired to be missionaries, to go out on the field, you don't have to. They're here. And use everything that God has made you and given you to be His flock. and say to him each morning as you arise, oh God, I make a commitment. I'm not looking for anyone else to help me. I alone in this chair am making a commitment to be clay in the hands of the master potter. That is what I want from life.
Yeah, and so just with all these changes that we have in our government right now, we don't need to be fearful. We just need to focus on, you know, being rooted in Scripture and obeying Christ. And I think we just need to keep that first and foremost in our hearts and our minds.
Yeah, and like Laurel said, you know, the more of God's word you know, the less likely the enemy can manipulate you, you know, and I think you need to evaluate your time and your commitment to the word. Are you a student of the word or are you a student of the world? Do you spend more time in God's word or on social media or watching the news? So that is a good caliber to test. And to equip yourself, like Laurel said, to be ready with scripture or, you know, things that you've been learning so that you can share and witness.
Yes, thank you, ladies. Let's move on to the next question. What are ways that you can read the Bible and miss communion with Jesus? How can we avoid that? And that's going to be for all three of you. Becky, would you start us on that one?
Yeah, I had a few thoughts about that. So first, I think it happens that you come to God's word to grow in your affections for Christ, and you come away and you're like, did my affections grow for Christ just then? Sometimes it's just not moving your heart to worship and not necessarily tremendously impactful. And that can discourage us from wanting to prioritize that time. It's a lot of work to train your kids so you can be in God's word and arrange your day and your sleep schedule so you can be in God's word. And if day after day it feels like, oh, this feels like work and not like it's really moving my heart to worship, I think we need to persevere in being in God's word. Don't let that be a catalyst to say, this isn't worth it. I'm not benefiting from this, because God's word, we need to be open to continuing to be in his word and let him have an effect on our hearts. And maybe there's something you need to be repenting of or something you need to be changing in your time. I think for maybe particularly for my generation, we're very distracted. So I think a huge like pitfall for us is we train our brains for hours every day to kind of like skip from thought to thought to thought to thought. And a lot of times it's either like to-do lists or a lot of times entertainment. And maybe it's like a podcast or music, or we're constantly consuming. And a lot of it is our phones. And I'm guilty of that as well. But if we're training our brains to just be satisfied with headlines and little, you know, I kind of think of it as like junk food, then when we sit down to eat something healthy, it's really hard. It's all of a sudden you're like, oh, I don't like this. And we need to really practice just discipline in our minds. Romans 12 talks about that we need to be renewing our minds with God's word. And I hope that makes sense. There has to be some kind of balance there, but I think practically just not spending as much time on those sort of fleeting ideas and thoughts throughout your day. Something that has helped me is just getting in a practice of reading a book, not necessarily in my personal Bible time, but just reading something that's more challenging to my brain. So when my family does reading time, I do reading time. And sometimes I'm picking up a classic novel, or sometimes I'm picking up Puritan, but just practicing having a good, deep, sustained thought, which is so crazy that we even need to identify that. But I really do think that can be a huge pitfall to time in God's word. Another thing is not having a plan for what you're going to do in your Bible time. So like Laurel was saying, you have your books out and you have to be ready to study. So not just going, oh, I need to be reading my Bible. I'll read right here. And that's okay to do sometimes. I mean, it's God's word, but I think it's helpful to have a plan for what you're going to study and how you're going to study it, and going deeper than just an overview reading, but actually digging into God's word. So over the last, I think about 9 years now, I've done EWG and the Every Women's Grace Ministry that's here at church. And there have been seasons where I've been able to be part of a group on Wednesday mornings or on Wednesday evenings. And in this current season, I'm just printing the lessons off the website. So you have access to all of those lessons and all of those messages that the women teach during the week. And that's been really helpful. And that's actually what two of my friends and I are doing that together. And there's tons of Bible study books in the bookshop. And maybe you're not really oriented well with God's word at this point, and you're like, Romans, who is that? what am I doing here? There's another book in the bookshop called Fundamentals of the Faith, and that is a really good just starting point for what is God's word, what are these books, who is God, what is the Old Testament, what is the New Testament. And I know when I was a new believer, I could not spend time in God's word because I had no idea what I was dealing with or what I was reading. I didn't know what any of that meant. So just starting there is a great way to start too. And that can be your personal Bible time right there. Yeah. So some manner of a plan, I think helps you not fall into those pitfalls.
Thank you, Becky. Yeah, those are some really good thoughts. Laurel, did you have any thoughts about this particular question of how we can miss communion with Jesus and what ways we can avoid that?
One of the things I do, dears, is I have brought with me some of my tools other than just my Bible, my Bible commentaries, my Puritans. I have this. This costs $50. And if any of you want this, I have the address where you can get it, and I will pay $25 toward it. So it's only cost you $25.
She means it.
I do mean it. This is the original 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary. Noah Webster was a born-again Christian. And everywhere you go in this book, if it has anything to do with Scripture, it's there. Now, Satan has stolen our language. He has stolen our media. He has stolen everything. He has stolen our words. And you will enrich your study of the word as you look here and you find all of the depth and the height of what Scripture means by going word for word, how gorgeous it is. So come to me if you want to do that. Other thing is, you need to have a very good Bible commentary. And the best that I know of was recommended by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Does that name mean anything to you? Well, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said about the Matthew Henry commentary to his students at Spurgeon College, he said, if you have to sell your coat, buy it. Now, it's only $20, and I can tell you where to get it. But what I want to say to you is when you're in your Bible study, you will have pens and pencils and markers, and you will go through day by day by day all by yourself, marking, learning, being dependent upon no one except Jesus Christ. This is yours, and it's a great man expanding on the greatest, which is the Word of God. There is so much there for you, dear ones. If you are born again, there should be a great longing in your heart to take the best hours of the day and give it to Jesus Christ without interruption. I could not live without my 2 to 3 hours in the morning. It sets the day. It sets my relationships. It sets everything I do. And I have pulled away from the world, and I have become my Savior's girl, and that is what I want to be. I should say I become my Savior's old woman. And that's what I want. Yeah, I think I want to be that too.
Mai, did you have anything to add?
Nothing to add to that. Exclamation point. Ditto.
Except I have a convert here. She'll tell you.
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys were in Grace Life years ago, but for Christmas, we had a Christmas Grace Life, I'm going to say this, but Christmas party. And at each spot for each family, Somebody had anonymously given each family a Matthew Henry concise commentary of the whole Bible. And I went home and I said, Paul, who is that? And he goes, oh, it's anonymous. Because I have a commentary too, but it's not the large print. And so when I got it, I was like, oh, I must meet this person. She's my kindred soul. So it was Laurel, and I just had to come and give her a big hug. So if you guys get your hands on one of these, it will definitely give you depth in your study time. But no, I don't have anything to add.
And then you have markers, you see, all different colors of markers. You have a pen so that you write down what you were doing in 1993. And you go back and, oh, my Lord, now I know more than I did. I know more than my teachers, I think.
That's what Psalm 119 is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like a physical book in my hands and paper and different colored markers and a pen and all of that. But I know for sure this Webster's 1828 dictionary is free online, and I don't have a physical copy, but you can. I'm pretty sure it's Webster's1828.com.
1828.
18. I'm sorry. 1828. Thank you.
It's really old.
And I also like to use that website when I'm studying, and I feel like this might be online too. I think this is free online as well. The Matthew Henry commentary.
Oh yeah, I think it is actually.
Yeah, I think you can even look up. Like if you're studying, let's say, 1 Timothy, you can do Matthew Henry, 1 Timothy commentary, and all
just
of that is available
girls,
online.
There's nothing like having it in your hands.
I agree.
Definitely.
Oh, it is.
Especially
just,
when the power goes out and your Wi-Fi doesn't work.
I know people
you don't
their,
have.
They bring their computers and their iPads and everything to church, and they da, 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 da. I want the Word of God in my hand.
Well, maybe I'll get the names of those books and maybe the links and post them up on the Grace Life Facebook page, or we can somehow announce it so you all
Strangely
have that.
Strangely enough, I have all of that right here.
Perfect. I will steal that from you afterwards.
I'm very famous for my cards. Other people are famous for memorizing. I'm way past memorizing. At this age, I have thousands, don't I?
Yes.
I have
I got to see
cards,
them all, read them all.
Boxes of cards that would... And every one of them is a jewel that I've either gotten from the scriptures or from the Matthew Henry commentary or a word meaning from the dictionary. And I feel like the richest woman that ever lived.
Well, I think all of what you're saying just boils down to we need to be studying hard. There's so much, so many riches to know about Christ in scripture, and you can't just glance over it each day and expect to really know him that way. And I think what Becky said was also really insightful, that especially those for our generation that we're kind of used to being distracted by so many things on social media, the internet, that we just really need to retrain our minds to just get in there and be studying. And so I think these study tools are just really important for us to be using. Just disciplining our minds to be studying who is Christ and digging in every day.
You can also do one of the things besides disciplining your minds. You can renew your minds. So a totally different mind is studying, not the same one you had before. And I have something I love to say, and that is you don't sit there in that chair to be a better person and make sure that extremely comfortable. You have a blanket and hot tea. And you are there to be someone you've never been, and it's hard work. Do it.
Thank you. Okay, so let's move on to the next question, and this is for all three of you as well. Tell us about a time when your personal Bible reading led to a satisfying time with Christ. And there's probably many of these, so it was probably really hard to pick one, but if you were able to pick one, I think that would be really motivating for us and helpful for us to hear. Who would like to start?
I can start.
Okay.
I just picked the most recent one. I've been studying Genesis because that's where the EWG study has been. And it's such a foundational, important book. And it's so strange. There's so many strange things. So I'm reading about Jacob's life. And there's just, what a guy. And so much foolishness, so much sin. And I think it really helped. It just was so sweet to think of who our God is, that in the midst of so much folly and sin, God is so faithful because he loves us and he loves his people with a covenant love. And it's really, really clear when you read Genesis and the rest of the Old Testament that God saves his people because of his grace and mercy and love, and he keeps his people because of his grace and mercy and love, despite our sin and our foolishness. And I think it's really easy to make a lot over my own sin, and I get to see it every day, homeschooling my kids and my impatience and angry responses. And it's just such a comfort to be reminded that I'm not going to lose this covenant love because it was never dependent on any good things, and it's not dependent on any bad things that I do. It's all because of Christ's work and all because of God's character. So that really did, you know, even in the midst of the mandrakes and the many wives and all the crazy stuff in Jacob's life, it was really good to see the steadfast love of the Lord in the midst of that.
Thanks. Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, so like Becky was saying, it's important for you to be in God's word every day and to see the whole counsel of God, you know, from Genesis, all the details, instead of just approaching the Bible as kind of a digest of, you know, promises or, you know, advice or some self-help book, you know, to read God's word and to take it in, the whole counsel of God, so you can see all the beautiful things that he has to teach you. And I always start my time in the word with opening up in the prayer of Psalm 119:18 that says, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful truths from your law. And he honors that, you know. And God's given us the faculty of wonder. You can just see it in children too. When we make a discovery about who he is or those revelations in our own personal walk, it's ours. So it's always satisfying when you do make that time and you invest in that study and you come away so rich. So I guess your question is, it's always satisfying when you're really committed to learning and you come expecting to learn. You know, you guys have said it before, to read, and I always read with a pen or a pencil in my hand, and it's said of Jonathan Edwards that he thinks with a pen in hand. Mm-hmm. And you should too. You should always go to God's word ready to learn and expecting to be changed and to discover something new. But but in particular, when you were saying with kids, when my kids were younger, yes, you struggle as a mom of young toddlers with patience and your tongue, you know, just. And so I remember I still have them charted verses according to, you know, whatever area it was that I was struggling in. It was joy. So I went to scripture and looked for all the verses of joy or contentment. It was another page of verses about contentment or the tongue and the mouth and the speech. And so each day of the week, like today is the 15th, I would go back and, okay, what was that verse? You know, and just meditate on that. So the power of scripture to change and to act like the sword that it is in Hebrews, to cut through and deal with those, you have to, yeah. So you can't treat it like a, like, you know, to address those areas that God's definitely laid upon your heart to deal with, but also take in the whole counsel of God and read, and you'll discover wonderful truths, like you said, in Life of Jacob. For me, it was recently reading through Genesis as well, because my Bible reading plan, and reading about, you know, I've read the story about Abraham and Sarah and how he decided, okay, we'll call you my sister so we don't, you know, Abimelech won't, you know, kill me. And I just pondered that and I thought, how groundless was his fear? You know, nothing happened to him at the end. In fact, he was blessed. He was sent away with abundance. So I thought, that is like us. We are so fearful when there's no grounds to be. So that story of Sarah and Abraham, you know, can speak to you in your fear. So, yeah, God's word is rich, always satisfying.
I would just add, they're talking about things I've already been through.
Yeah.
And then the big one was my husband died. After 9 years of cancers, he died. And I studied by myself in quiet, because for 9 years he had these cancers roaming around, and I had no one to go to, and that was the best thing that ever happened. In fact, I've asked this lady, who is so wonderful, I've asked her, how did you become who you are? And I wrote back the answer, you didn't have anyone to help you. You stood alone with Jesus Christ in the hard times. And that is what you do. And as you stand alone and you make him your all in all, you haven't a husband to talk to. He's ill, so he's no longer the man that he was as a companion. And now the rubber meets the road and he dies. He was not saved. And you committed him to Jesus Christ. And 5 days before he dies, he says, Laurel, what must I do to be saved? Next to my own salvation, that was the greatest, but that's where the rubber meets the road. And you have read, and you have become somebody you never were, and you have no one to share that with. And this man that you love and you will never see again, he says, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe he is God. That's what happens with faith. That's what happens with fullness of the world. And the most amazing thing was not that I would then see my husband in heaven or that my prayers were answered. It wasn't that. It was because I didn't do it. God Almighty did it. And when you see him in action, then everything else falls away. He did it all. And I praise him. Praise him.
Thank you, ladies. I know that spurs me on to keep reading, keep knowing Christ, just keep on doing that, and he will fill our hearts with a vision of how beautiful he is. So I think we're going to go ahead and skip to the last question, and I think we've actually covered some of this already, but this one was for Mai, and it was, are there any resources or Bible study tools that you have found to be particularly helpful in your own personal times with the Lord?
Well, obviously the Bible, so that's a given. But like Laurel, I had her over at my 50th birthday party, and I said, Laurel, what would you tell your 50-year-old self? And so I was like taking notes. Tools are, of course, your Bible, and the Matthew Henry commentaries are any comment. I have that one and the Treasury of David. If you're studying through Psalms, I love my Treasury of David. And then the third tool that I'd commend to you is a journal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I say journal, it can conjure up different ways and different methods. The way that you do it, what's best for you, you know, because honestly, it's definitely going to help you concentrate and focus on what you're learning. Because I see some people taking notes now, you know. So when you're taking notes and you're writing, it helps you articulate better what you're thinking, you know. I love this quote that says, thoughts disentangle themselves when passed through the lips and across the fingertips. So if you're not clear and you're like, you know, I love just journaling about that. And I know it's not commanded in scripture, but it is one of the spiritual disciplines. I don't know if you'll devote a whole morning to it, but I could talk for hours on it.
Do you think that John MacArthur studies with a pen in his hand?
Definitely, yeah. And, you know, we can see David's spiritual journey through the Psalms. That's his journal. And even, you know, Jeremiah's feelings of the fall of Jerusalem in Lamentation. So we have models of it in that. And so I would say definitely, you know, discipline yourself to journal. And I don't know, do I have time to talk about a few things? Okay. I do want to share with, you know, Becky had said practical ways. And when I was thinking about Laurel's question to me of how did I come to think the way that I think, it's the metacognition is what it is. It's like thinking about your thinking, you know. It's really profound. But don't get too navel-gazing. It is about self-evaluation and self-examination. And so that's what journaling helps to see. If you're, you know, just babbling, and write down your thoughts. It helps you to identify even patterns in your life that you need to surrender to the Holy Spirit and the Lord to work on. I know in counseling, that's one of the things that I encourage my folks to do, is to write down what is it, those thoughts that plague you, you know, because we delight, you know, we delight in the things, we think about the things we delight in. So I have them journal and see what it is that, you know, is occupying their mind. But also, it's a good place for you to just express your thoughts and feelings to the Lord, whether it be praise or whether it be lamentations, you know. And it, you know, it's just precious. Then every year around my birthday, I like to go over and read and review my journals from last year and pull out, you know, and see God's faithfulness. It's a monument to God's faithfulness in your life, ladies. It's also like Pastor John a few weeks ago shared about William Wilberforce's journal. What a heritage, yeah? What a heritage to leave to your children to many generations later on. It's also a place for you to monitor and keep track of your goals and your priorities, and even just to help maintain other spiritual disciplines. If I'm, you know, reading a plan, I need to write down what I'm reading, and then I jot down, you know, what I've learned and meditate on that. It helps. It helps. I'm a word person too, and so it, that image of that word stays in my mind if I'm making it, you know, big or draw. You don't even have to be neat. You can draw, you can do calligraphy, so that that word, like today, reading in Proverbs about, you know, the benefits of wisdom, you know, what's stuck in my mind is it gives you a peace, a pathway of peace. So you can, you know, if you only have a, some people are working and they're like, I can't get up, I can't do this. If you sit down and you're reading, you're journaling, that image of that word will, you know, at least you can take it with you and meditate on it all day long. So, yeah, so I can talk all day about journaling.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are some really helpful.
I have journals that will be from the ground right up here.
Mm-hmm. And that's before
I
met her.
If I think it, I write it.
Yeah.
And if I read it, I write it. And it's over and pages and pages and pages. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she goes back and she takes them out and she puts on these cards that are just jewels. Yeah. I told her I want them when she dies. At least one box.
The thing about my cards, I leave them in the guest room in these beautiful boxes so that anybody who stays there can open it. And I say, oh, yes, and here some few things you might like to look through as you're being my guest.
I have one other tip. What I forgot, it didn't really go anywhere, but when you were talking about study habits and tools, it made me think of, you never asked this, but it was like different seasons of your life, there were styles of learning that, you know, that helped. And I remember being in the college department, which is awesome, you guys. Our college department is amazing. I don't know if you learned this, but, you know, the inductive method, you know, when you're reading scripture, to observe, ask yourself questions, who, what, where, why, how, and then to interpret and to ask why did that, you know, author write it that way, and what's his message? That's when the Matthew Henry or the commentaries come in handy. And then thirdly, to apply, make application, and asking yourself specific application type questions. You know, how does this text, what does this text reveal that I should, you know, do, how I should praise God, and things like that. And one of the things they gave us was an acronym of Space Pets. Have you guys ever heard that acronym, Space Pets? Have you?
Never.
Okay, well, it helps because I still remember. Is there a sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an attitude to change? Is there a command to follow or obey? Is there an error to avoid? P, is there a, I forgot P, prayer to pray, error to avoid, truth to believe, and then something to praise God about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you don't have any practical things, you can talk to us. We'll, plenty
because
of stuff.
We know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we don't know everything, but we got some good ideas. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. We just really appreciate just hearing from you and your own personal walks with the Lord and just how you've spent time studying scripture. I think it just motivates all of us to want to keep doing that. And one of the greatest blessings that God has given us is the church, that we get to live this Christian life together. And so I'd encourage each of you, you know, if you want to, I'm sure each of these ladies would be happy to talk to you if you wanted ideas or just wanted to chat some more just about how to be get in the habit of reading scripture, they'd be happy to chat with you about that. For the rest of this time, we're going to just have some small group time at your tables. You can spend it getting to know one another. We've also put some questions on the table just to help you think through some of the things that we've been talking about today. And yeah, just try to be prayerful about how the Lord might have you to be more even disciplined, or just how to be in the Word more. And I think we can all do that more and more and more in all different ways. And I think two of you mentioned prayer is such a big part of this. And we're hoping to do another meeting on prayer. I don't know if that's going to be the next one, but we'll do that. But that's such a big part of even our time in the Word. And so, yeah, I think that's it for now. But thank you so much, ladies. Yeah, we really enjoyed that time together.
Thank you so much for coming this morning. And thanks to Jana and Alana and a whole bunch of the women here that helped put this together. We really appreciate it. Let's thank them all. And thank you, too, to Mai and to Laurel and to Becky for leading us this morning and just helping us understand how important Bible study is and giving us good inspiration and good ways to step forward. Hopefully, we'll all take good advantage. Okay? Thanks for coming. We hope to see you again in April. We'll let you know what the day is, and let's close our morning. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for every lady that was able to come. We pray, Lord, that you would give us your help, give us the discipline we need, help us to grow in our love for you, and help us to grow in our obedience. And Lord, we just thank you for salvation, for what you've done in each one of our lives. Help us to always be grateful, and help us to tell all those that we know. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker. For more information about the ministry of the Grace Life Pulpit, visit at www.thegracelifepulpit.com. Please note, law prohibits the unauthorized copying or distributing of this audio file. Requests for permission to copy or distribute are made in writing to the Grace Life Pulpit. Copyright by the Grace Life Pulpit, all rights reserved.